our topic and the top more discussion. Case number 27940, DJ Lounge, operating company incorporated for supervision of the City County of Honolulu against interveners.
Good morning, everyone. Before we begin this morning, this court, Intermediate Court of Appeals in the state of Hawaii, suffered a grievous loss yesterday with the passing of Judge John S.W. Lim, our colleague on the court. Judge Lim, in addition to being a wonderful judge and colleague, was a dedicated husband and father and a friend to many people in this community. And I'd ask that you join the court in observing a moment of silence in his honor before we begin today. Thank you, everyone. If we begin today by having the attorneys and our pro se party identify yourselves for the record, please. Okay. All right. All right, very good. Thank you all, and I guess Mr. Chi will begin for us today. Mr. Pang will begin for us.
May it please the court, the Honolulu Liquor Commission is appealing the decision of the circuit court on one specific matter. The circuit court ordered the Honolulu Liquor Commission to conduct contested case hearings in lieu of a public hearing. Hawaii Revised Statutes 281, which I'll refer to as the liquor laws of Hawaii, require that a public hearing be held before any application can be approved or denied. The intent of that is to have the members of the surrounding neighborhood have the final say. The circuit court determined that hearing should be a contested case hearing and follow contested case procedures. We are challenging that because we believe that the public hearing and the contested case hearings are two different animals, and you can't interchange one or the other. And specifically, you can't have contested case procedures in a public hearing. The two most offensive procedures that we see regarding contested case hearings are rules of evidence. Hawaii Revised Statute, the liquor laws require that all testimony, all evidence be submitted to the Liquor Commission, and they accept all evidence and all testimony. The contested case allows for exclusions of certain irrelevant material, certain redundant material. We have many, commission has many protests just with a signature that says, I object because it's going to be noisy. If there's an objection because of redundancy, we've seen 10 of these. You can accept 10, but don't accept 20. I think that would be a violation of the liquor law. The other offensive procedure is the cross-examination. We believe this is the most offensive because this would allow a crafty attorney to strongly cross-examine the first protester or first testifier who opposes the liquor license application, and that would put a chilling effect on those in the audience waiting to testify. We believe that would clearly be in violation of the liquor laws.
Mr. Pang, if your view of the statute is correct, then why did the Hawaii Supreme Court in the Singleton case accept jurisdiction of that appeal from the Big Island Liquor Commission? Granted, it was appealing a grant of a license as opposed to a denial, but accepted jurisdiction under 9114, which is part of the contested case hearing chapter, and went on and cheerfully decided that case. Why would they have had jurisdiction if your view of the statute is correct?
Well, I have a partly I disagree with the court in saying that is a contested case. I understand that because Chapter 9114, that's the only avenue of a administrative appeal. And therefore, before you can get the administrative appeal, you have to get, you have to determine to be a contested case. The circuit court, in our case, went a little further. It says, okay, we'll take, accept jurisdiction, we'll call it a contested case. Oh, by the way, you have to have, you didn't follow these contested case procedures. Well, we're, in the public hearing, we follow public hearing procedures, which is subject to the Sunshine Law. Contested case hearings are not. I think that
under your view, would there be judicial review?
Well, I think that under my view, the result would be no. It would not be.
So how do you? We're the Intermediate Court of Appeals. We're not the Supreme
Court. Yes, I understand.
How would we? How do we get around Singleton? And if how does Singleton mesh with your views in terms of how we can analyze this case?
Well, I think Singleton raised a couple issues. Singleton clearly said, I think there's language in Singleton that says. The intent of the legislature is to actively involve the community. I think that is the intent of the statute. And so the court didn't go further and say, in Singleton, didn't go and say, you have to follow the contested case procedures.
I'm trying to understand. I thought I just heard you say you didn't think there was a right of appeal. When I read your brief, I thought you said, we're not contesting the right that there is a right of appeal, but we're saying that all the other procedures in 91 don't apply. So I guess that's a pretty critical question, because if you're asking us to go counter to what Singleton says, that's one thing. If you're suggesting that there's some way of having judicial review consistent with Singleton, but the contested case procedure is otherwise not applying, that's a very different thing.
Yeah, that's what actually that is what we're asking for. Mr. Chi in his responsive brief says if my logic or my argument goes to the end, then there is no contested case appeal. We prefer that my argument not go that far. It just go to the point where, yes, we'll accept jurisdiction because we believe it is a contested case, it involves people's rights, but under the statute, the Liquor Commission statute, you're following the public hearing procedures, and that's correct.
Hearing in terms of rulemaking type of hearing?
No, I'm talking about allowing everybody to testify.
Like the rulemaking hearing.
Yeah, almost like the rulemaking, and it allows everybody to testify. And I think if you have a contested case, you're allowed to limit that, and you're allowed to make objections, you're allowed to exclude certain evidence, and that would be contrary to the liquor statutes.
Yeah, but you're making basically a policy argument, but what's the legal analysis that allows us to carry out that policy?
I think the legal analysis, I understand you're the lower court, and this appeal was filed before Singleton came out. And the result is maybe a disagreement with the Supreme Court. I understand maybe you can't do that, but the result is that it puts the commission in violation of the liquor laws if we have a contested case hearing.
And Singleton, was that raised? They just assumed they had.
No, jurisdiction. They just assumed they had jurisdiction. It wasn't raised, but it, like I said, their language indicates that the reason for a public hearing is to have the community come in.
Is there a distinction between Singleton and this case in that Singleton involved an approval of a liquor license where here we have a denial? In other words, is there anything about the fact that we have a denial here that makes it different in terms of the contested case analysis in your mind?
I think the distinction is that the appeal in this case was not based on whether the Liquor Commission on the Big Island acted arbitrarily in reviewing the testimony and the evidence submitted. The appeal here was that the commission did not follow contested case procedures, and therefore it violated the applicant's due process rights. And you should go back and follow the contested case procedures.
Mr. Pang, are you aware the legislative history to Chapter 91 includes a reference that back in 1961, the Liquor Commission expressed a desire to the legislature not to have licensing decisions reviewed or subject to appeal, and the legislature indicated in a committee report that indeed it was its intent that denials of liquor license would be defined as liquor license proceedings would be contested case proceedings. So
I was not familiar with that, but it still does not, this still does not relieve the commission of a conundrum. What do we do in the public hearing context? Do we allow everybody to testify, or do we exclude evidence?
There's some models out there based on Supreme Court case law, right, where it's kind of a hybrid. You have the public hearing, and you also have a contested case. The land use commission type of the adjoining property owners get to be notified, and they come and testify, and if they want to be made parties, they follow the rules of that particular entity to become a party.
Right, they are, but if you go back to the, I think the first case that ruled that a public hearing is a contested case, and that was a town case, that one put the planning commission in a difficult position, because what happened was there was a public hearing and it was continued to another day. And then the applicant came in and testified, and the commission allowed him to testify under the Sunshine Law, which requires all people allowed testify on each matter. And he testified to clarify certain things. The neighbor appealed, saying, well, I wasn't there and you didn't give me a chance to cross-examine. Supreme Court said yes. But in my mind, the Planning Commission was correct. They followed the Sunshine Law and allowed the applicant to testify, which they are required to do. If the circuit court's decision is to be upheld, then we would have to not apply the Sunshine Law. We would have to apply the contested case hearing law, and that may be that it's not an open meeting.
Judge Watanabe's point is you could do both. You could have a public hearing, and then at the end of that process, or at some point in that process, the party could ask for a contested case hearing.
I understand that argument, but I don't see that in this particular context, because in a public hearing, we collect the protests. If there's 50% or more protests, the liquor license is denied. There's no second step. If the liquor license is not denied at the public hearing step, then we go to the contested case hearing. What evidence is presented? Do we allow all those same people who testified at the public hearing to again become parties and testify?
Who would be the parties in a liquor license case? Again, in a public utilities case, you got the consumer advocate on one side and you got the applicant on the other. Who do you think would be the parties in a contested case?
Again, that's another difficulty that we come with. The applicant is clearly a party.
Is that defined by regulation or some other source of law?
No, it's not defined. The statute requires that two-thirds of those living within 500 feet be notified of the hearing. However, suppose someone who was not notified of the hearing, he claims it's a contested case hearing, I'm a party, you should have notified me. That's another difficult contradiction that we have to deal with.
So right now you don't treat any of them as parties?
No, we don't.
Only the applicant's a party.
Only the applicant, and if they come forward and testify, we allow them to testify.
And yet, I noticed that the commission issued findings of fact and conclusions of law in this case.
Yes,
looks like a contested case proceeding.
I understand, and we've done that. The commission does not oppose an appeal of their decision. It opposes applying contested case procedures to its public hearing. We think that they can't be interchangeable. One is for protection of the individual's rights, and one is the protection of the community's rights.
That seems a little inconsistent. If it's not a contested case, you don't have a right to appeal, right? Under the APA, an agency hearing is one that's a contested case, and under your chapter 281, it seems to say that a licensee aggrieved may appeal if it's an order assessing or providing for collection of a penalty, or an order suspending or revoking a license. It says nothing about denying or granting a permit, I mean an application. So chapter 281 doesn't seem to authorize an appeal, and chapter 91 doesn't seem to authorize an appeal. So
I think that's the difficulty. The only reason and the only way you get to the courts on an appeal is to define it as a contested case. Perhaps it's
so I look at that definition, and under the contested case definition, it's a proceeding in which the legal rights, duties, or privileges of specific parties are required by law to be determined after an opportunity for an agency hearing. So what is the law that requires a contested case proceeding in this particular case?
The statute requires a public hearing. So
not a contested case?
No. It specifically says public hearing. And public hearings are a little bit different. Notices are different. You have to have a publication in the newspapers. In liquor commission notices, you have, like I said, you have to send notices to 2/3 of those living within 500 feet. So it's a little bit different than a contested case hearing.
Shall we? But they could,
can
Ms.
I
Tom?
Ask a question
sure.
before you go down? You folks seem to be operating under the assumption that that maximum time period, 91-13.5, is applicable to a liquor commission decision.
Yes.
And I guess I'm wondering why. If that seems to require it for business or development-related permits, licenses or, how does it say? It applies to a permit required by law to be obtained prior to the formation, operation, or expansion of a commercial or industrial enterprise. A liquor license isn't required for a commercial operation, is it? It's a nice to have, not a requirement.
Well, you can't sell liquor without the liquor license. So we believe that it falls under that business idea. And I was around when that act was enacted, and I believe the discussion was in the committee rooms that it was to be applied to the liquor, laws.
That's not obvious on the face
of
the statute.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I understand that.
There are specific statutes referred to in that statute, right. Section that doesn't refer to any of the Chapter 281.
It doesn't, but to be careful, I think the commission was advised that because there was discussion in the committee rooms, we would apply it. Otherwise, if it didn't and we went beyond, it would be automatically approved. So we make sure that the commission makes a decision before their deadline.
Because your statute on the time period, 15 days, pre-existed that statute.
Right.
And 15 days to do all the investigation that the inspectors need to do in order to make a reasonable decision, that doesn't seem like much time.
Oh, no, it's 15 days after the public hearing. So after they close the public hearing, they have, I guess, 15 days to make a decision. So the investigation may take three months. The notice of notice to all neighbors takes about 45 days. So that's all done before the time period starts running. Once they have the public hearing and they close the public hearing, that's when the 15 days starts.
In this case, the investigative report wasn't submitted to the second hearing.
No, that was a supplemental report. And in fact, it was the public hearing was continued, I think, two times, maybe three times. Yeah. So at the third time when they close the public hearing, that's when the time stops. And sometimes both sides ask for the public hearing to remain open, to add additional exhibits, additional evidence, or to answer questions from the commission. So the public hearing is not always closed on one day.
Anything further at this point?
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Pang. Ms. Thomas?
Well, I think I have some answers to your questions. I prepared a half an hour talk. I didn't realize I was going to have to split it. So, and I've never done this before, so please bear with me. First of all, I think that in the Singleton case, the Supreme Court didn't really look at the language of 281. In 281, the Chapter 91, conformance of Chapter 91, is only mentioned 9 times. If you analyze it, 3 of those times are having to do with making an adoption of rules. 2 of them have to do with the process of appeals, but the one in 17B says that everything has to conform to this chapter, 281, or Chapter 91. So they have to put Chapter 91 in there because it's mentioned eight other times in 281. So they put it in there just to cover those eight times. And for the regular appeals, all of the other appeals that are for chapter to conformance with Chapter 91 have to do with an already licensed person or company. It does not have to do with an applicant that's trying to get a liquor license. And finally, four of those times is about notices and hearings already of licensees for transfers of the license, for renewals, revocation, because they broke the laws, or illegal sale of liquor. But all of them.
So your view of the statute is that for the application process, there's no judicial review. Whatever the commission says.
Yes. The point is that 281, 52, 57, and 59, which handle the application hearing, make no mention whatsoever of having to conform with Chapter 91.
The structure of the statute.
Yes.
The legislature's intent.
Yes. And not only that, but the fact that that the lawmakers gave the community the right to force the Liquor Commission to deny the license. Now, if you think about it, if the community can deny the license, then already Chapter 91-11 is violated. Why? Because once the community has spoken, the Liquor Commission has to deny the license, whether or not the applicant got to say his part or not say his part, or was given due diligence or wasn't given due diligence or whatever. The community has spoken, sorry, you don't get the application or you don't get the license. So the lawmaker's intent was that the 281, you're exactly right, it's a hybrid. And there are some hearings where it is a contested, it has to conform to contested cases. Those are the hearings where the already licensed person's rights might be violated, because they're going to take away his license, they're going to take away his livelihood, and so because they're accusing him of something. And so, he should have the right to get up there and argue and say, no, that's not the case, they're accusing me wrongly or whatever. But for an applicant who doesn't even have a license, he doesn't have that right at that point in time. He has to get the license, start operating, and then he'll have the Chapter 91 protection. I think that Singleton, the ruling in Singleton, they didn't realize that this 281 was a hybrid.
But as a policy matter, what difficulties would be encountered if the contested case procedures were applied to license application?
Well,
from your standpoint, why would it be? What impediments would it create if you were forced to, if the hearings had to be held pursuant to the contested case procedure?
For one thing, the protesters would have to be cross-examined. The protesters would have to get a lawyer in order to be equal. It gives complete advantage to the applicant, and it doesn't allow the community, who doesn't have the resources, who don't have the legal knowledge, and who object, to say their piece. And they could be grossly intimidated to even come forward and speak. So that's one, and I think that's the most grievous. The other is, how would the community give the evidence? It's you have to comply with, when you have Chapter 91, you have to comply with the rules of evidence. And that the community wouldn't know about that. They wouldn't know what was part of the rules or what wasn't. It wasn't meant that way by the lawmakers at all. It was meant that the community has the last word, or the first word, as you might. So basically, There's a lot of contradictions and inconsistencies if you go down the path saying that the application hearings is a contested case. The way that it plays out is that the community who have to live with this establishment in their neighborhood is given the power, and to bring it into being a contested case is just not what the lawmakers had in mind.
How about a hybrid where there could be both the public hearing, as happens now, and then a contested case hearing subsequent to it, or when asked for by the applicant?
Well, the applicant, if the Liquor Commission or the community objects to the applicant having getting granted the license, the applicant has the opportunity to change what the objections were, to make an adjustment, and then reapply with solving that problem. And so they and so within the law of the Liquor Commission, they can actually adjust what they're asking for and then come back and reapply. So that's the form of appeal I think that the lawmakers meant to have in place. Yes, once a year the license is renewed. And by the way, the community has power during that year, because if there's noise or complaints of any kind and they call the police department and or the Liquor Commission, if there's enough complaints, in 281, I think it's 32, it says that the Liquor Commission can deny the renewal.
Rising to the 50%, decides not to grant the application because of public concern, can they immediately turn around and submit another application addressing some of the concerns that we raised?
I think that they would have to address all the concerns and convince the Liquor Commission that those concerns are not a concern anymore. They would have to, I think they would have to reapply. Wouldn't they have to reapply? They would have to reapply for a liquor license once it was not renewed, or if it was revoked, they would have to reapply.
In terms of the number of people that had to be notified, are you saying that's jurisdictional in this case?
Well, the yeah, I am. I think that, you know, only two-thirds of within 500 feet have to be notified. That means a third don't have to be notified. So once the two-thirds are notified, if they get the right number of protests, signatures, then they can take the decision right out from the Liquor Commission. There are games that are being played by only notifying the people on the peripheral, perimeter, who wouldn't care as much as the ones that are closer to where the location is going to be. There's all sorts of games that are played with the notification. But and so actually the community is really at a disadvantage. Our community went through this whole thing. And one of the disadvantages is with the voter registration. That's what the Liquor Commission uses. Well, it takes several years for the voter registration to really reflect who's in the area. And so we had 91% signatures of the actual people that were living, and we had proof that the others had moved away. But if you did the numbers according to the voter registration, we came under the 50%. I think it was something like 48%. So we were not able to force the Liquor Commission to deny the license, but the Liquor Commission saw what was going on and deemed it appropriate to deny it. In terms of the 1961 statute that you were referring to, the Sunshine Law didn't come in until 1975, the legislative session of 1975. So if they had ruled in 61, I think that they hadn't had yet the concept of the Sunshine Laws and public hearings. And so it was not until 1975 that that concept became clear. So that's the argument that I would give for refuting that. Okay, I just don't think that the Singleton Supreme Court really analyzed 281 that well. And if you think about it, the inconsistencies between applying Chapter 91-11 and the community being able to object, they are not consistent. You can't have both of them at the same time. So a choice has to be made.
You don't think they can be harmonized?
They cannot, because the person has to be able to present to the people who are making the decision. In the case of the community making the decision, that just isn't going to happen. Once the community has 50% plus one, it doesn't matter what the applicant says, what the applicant presents, or to whom. It's totally inconsistent.
Thank you, Ms. Thomas. I guess your time is run for now, although we'll be hearing from you again in rebuttal after we hear from Mr. Chi. So thank you very much.
But
again, we'll have a chance to hear from you at the end of our argument. And Mr. Chi?
May it please the Court?
Sure.
Your Honors, the issue that's presented by this appeal is very, very simple. Whether the public hearing held pursuant to HRS 281-59, where my client's liquor license application was denied, was a contested case pursuant to HRS 91-1, subsection 5. That's the issue on this appeal. And that issue has been largely
resolved. And you think it is?
Excuse me?
And you think it was?
Yes, of course,
and
Your Honor.
Did you ask for a contested case hearing below?
Your Honor, the procedure that was, it wasn't a matter of requesting a contested case.
Did you request it?
I'm not aware that any request that a contested case was made, because the procedures that have always been followed before the Liquor Commission is that the Liquor Commission has never treated these things, these hearings, as contested cases. And so, as far as I know, no one has ever asked that it be treated as a contested case. However, Your Honor, I do not believe that there's a requirement that you request a contested case.
It's not waived if you don't request it?
Well, Your Honor, if the procedures that are set forth, the definition of a contested case is set forth in Chapter 91, and there's nothing, as far as I know, in Chapter 91 that requires that there be a election to have a contested case or a waiver of a contested case.
Hasn't the Hawaii Supreme Court been pretty tough on litigants who, for example, in front of the Board of Land and Natural Resources, failed to avail themselves of proceedings for a contested case hearing? Now, if someone failed to ask for a contested case hearing in front of that board, and that was grounds for throwing out their appeal, isn't there an argument in your case you needed to at least preserve the record and ask for
it? Your Honor, if there had been a procedure that the Liquor Commission had established where there was a moment of time when an election needed to be made and my client didn't make that election, then I think that I'd have to take a different position. But in this particular case, there was never a procedure set forth where the Liquor Commission tells the applicant, okay, time to decide. You know, are you going to have a contested case or are you not? The procedure just simply moved forward along the lines as if the procedure that was going to occur without being a contested case here.
It's your position it would have been futile to ask?
Your Honor, I don't think that it would be fair to applicants who are not necessarily sophisticated because not all applicants that come before the Liquor Commission have attorneys or are sophisticated in what they're doing. If an applicant isn't told that they need to make an election, they won't necessarily know that it's that to even ask for a contested case.
So you went through the entire hearing sort of acquiescing and having it conducted the way it always was, and it wasn't until the very end that when this particular issue arose about one of the commissioners voting, that at that point, I guess, your client objected and in some sense raised the issue. But I guess my question is, if your client didn't ask for it from the front end by waiting until the issue arose at the very, pretty much at the end of the proceedings, did your client waive the ability to argue that there is appellate jurisdiction here?
Your Honor, I don't think so. The way I approach it is that, the way I look at it is a waiver is when somebody, knowingly, intelligently gives up a right. And in this particular case, the question was never raised to my client or never asked my client, are you going to waive this right? When my client proceeded along the lines of this particular proceeding, the question was not asked, is this a contested case or is this not? And Your Honor, with respect to the procedures that were being implemented, my client at the time wanted to, for example, cross-examine and ask questions of witnesses, but was told that he could not. So as a result, he didn't do it. And the whole issue as to whether or not this procedure was a contested case or was not a contested case only arose long after the process was done and when it came time for an appeal. At that point,
what provision of the Liquor Commission laws require a contested case before an application can be denied?
With respect to the particular statutes, Chapter 281-52 and 281-59 both require a hearing to be held
No license shall be granted except after a public hearing by the liquor commission. What about denial, though? In your case, your license was denied.
Yes, that's correct. There's two different instances in which a denial could occur. Under 281.57, if there's the preliminary hearing, and at that preliminary hearing, the license could be denied. And, Your Honor, I know that it's been stated in both of the appellant's briefs that particular hearing does not need to be a contested case, and I would disagree, because by the definition of what a contested case is, if there's a hearing before the agency and a decision is made to determine the rights of somebody before the agency, that would be a contested case.
Under certain provisions of the Liquor Commission law, a license can be denied without a contested case hearing, without a hearing required by law.
Actually, Your Honor, I don't think so. I view it as there being three different hurdles that you need to overcome in order to get a license, and at any of these three, you could be denied, and you would be the game would be over. The first is at the preliminary hearing.
Is a preliminary hearing a contested case hearing under Chapter 91?
Your Honor, you know, initially when I first read it and I first read the statute, I didn't really think so, and I just kind of glossed over it. But then I thought about it some more, and I looked at the language of Chapter 91. 1-5. And what it indicates, what Chapter 281.57 requires, is that if the Liquor Commission wants to deny a applicant's application at a preliminary hearing, they meet, they have the preliminary hearing, and then they elect to deny the liquor license at that point. Well, that actually fits the definition of a contested case under Chapter 91, because there's a meeting, there's a hearing. Preliminary hearing is how it's phrased in the statute, but a hearing nonetheless.
But it's clear in the statute that the contested case hearing procedures under Chapter 91 are not followed in the preliminary hearing in which they deny a liquor license.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
The contested case hearing requirements of Chapter 91, the procedures, are not followed in a denial of a license at a preliminary hearing. So yeah. doesn't that run against your argument that a preliminary hearing constitutes a contested case hearing for purposes of Chapter 91?
Well, Your Honor, then going beyond that, Your Honor, and I'd have to admit, Your Honor, I don't know the answer to that question. I'd have to take a look. But with respect to the other two steps, and the steps that are relevant to this particular case, are then the second step is having to overcome the protest percentages that come in. And that, whether or not a protest has been sufficient, more than 50%, that's something that the Liquor Commission determines at its public hearing. And so even that determination, which was the subject of Singleton, Your Honor, that determination as to whether or not the percentages have been met, that's something that needs to be decided by the Liquor Commission. And that, according to the Supreme Court, it appears to be a decision that is a part of a contested case. The next hurdle, Your Honor, is even if the percentages have been overcome, is convincing the Liquor Commission at the public hearing to issue the license. And that's where, in this particular case, my client failed to convince the Liquor Commission to do that.
So we accept your... I'm sorry, go ahead.
He used the term public hearing.
Yes.
Do you think that should be a contested case proceeding?
Yes, Your Honor, and I'll explain why. Chapter 92 and Chapter 91 are not inconsistent. Chapter 92 provides for notices to the public and that sort of thing. Chapter 91 provides for notices to the parties. And
there are two components to Chapter 91, right? You've got the contested case proceedings, which are adjudicatory in nature, and then you've got the rulemaking procedures, which require public hearings, and those are more legislative in nature. And then, of course, Sunshine Law, you have to have a meeting, because even if you have the public hearing, you can't act unless you have a meeting, correct?
Yes.
So I guess it goes back to, if you look just within the corners of Chapter 281, they speak specifically of public hearings and specifically of contested case proceedings in certain types of hearings before the Liquor Commission. And if you look at 281-59, what is considered by the commission at a public hearing are the application, the protests, you hear the parties in interest, the oral and written testimony, and so it's not really a contested case that they're describing in that process.
And yet, Your Honor, it is, because what's being determined at that public hearing are the rights and duties, rights and privileges of the applicant before.
So then I'll go back to 91, because you really, in order to make it a contested case, you have to go to Chapter 91 to say that it's a requirement. So the definition of contested case is a proceeding in which the rights, legal rights, duties, or privileges of the parties are required by law to be determined after an opportunity for an agency hearing. And the definition of agency hearing is a hearing immediately before judicial review. So it's referring to contested case. So you need to find the requirement of law to hold the hearing as a contested case hearing. And if you look at Chapter 281, for the initial application, it doesn't seem to require a contested case proceeding. It seems to require a public hearing.
Your Honor, I don't think that there's any requirement that a contested case hearing not be public.
No, it's I'm not saying that. It's just a different procedure, right? You have to provide a 30-day notice. You have to have a court reporter there. You got to have be able to subpoena witnesses. It's just a totally different process.
And I understand, while it is a different process, it's not inconsistent with what the statute says. Chapter 281.59, the particular procedure that we're here discussing today, which and I know the court is already aware, is, you know, was the same procedure that was the subject of the Singleton case at the Supreme Court level. That this particular procedure is one at which the rights and duties of parties are being determined. And so it fits under.
It says required by law to be determined by a contested case proceeding. And I guess the question is, it sounds to me like what the Liquor Commission has done, and a lot of city agencies seem to have done, is when you apply, you don't have a right yet. It hasn't materialized into a right. It's a privilege to own, to have a liquor license. So it hasn't. It's not necessarily required to be determined by a contested case hearing. Because if you take the I'm trying to think globally. If you take the position that a denial of or a grant of an application for a liquor license is required to have a contested case, then what do you do with a driver's license or a conditional use permit or all these other applications that the city deals with on a daily basis? Are we going to have to, every time a government agency denies one of those applications because there's not enough information or the application's incomplete, they have to give a contested case proceeding to that individual?
I've given that some thought, Your Honor, and with respect to driver's license, for example. The decision of whether or not whether or not to issue a driver's license or other, you know, vocational licenses isn't made by a decision-making body doing adjudicative work. It's being, you know, if you pass your driving test, you get your driver's license. It's not being, the decision isn't being made by a administrative body. And that's the difference, is that there aren't that many instances where a deliberative body gets together and decides as to the rights and privileges of a person before them.
Are they specified criteria of what the commission has to follow in deciding whether to grant or deny a license application?
I'm not aware of any hard and fast criteria that
it's really just up to their discretion.
It is discretionary.
Doesn't that counsel against you claiming that you have a right, privilege, or duty with respect to the application itself? If the adjudicatory body can pretty much has unfettered discretion to grant or deny?
Well, I think it goes the other way. Because the body has the discretion to grant or deny, I think that my client and anybody who's applying for a similar license is entitled to a fair hearing to be able to present evidence and in organized and fair manner. One of the concerns that my client had as it went through this liquor license application.
Well, how does that affect whether he has a right or a privilege? Because that's what triggers the contested case requirement, right?
No, actually, Your Honor, as I read the laws, and as I understand it, if a hearing is to be heard in order to determine whether or not somebody has a right or privilege, that's a contested case. And so, to refer to one of Your Honor's questions, you asked, you know, it doesn't say anywhere in 281 that this application hearing is a contested case. And I agree with that. It doesn't say that that's a contested case. But what makes it a contested case is Chapter 91.
Well, are you saying the legislature can't, in another statute, trump 291? Is that what you're saying, trump 91? Are you saying the legislature, if it decided it wanted to vary the procedure, it could not go into another statute and, in essence, provide that parts of 91 would apply but other parts wouldn't? And then wouldn't that be exactly the argument that Ms. Thomas is making? In essence, the legislature very carefully in this statute, when it wanted 91 to apply, it said so, and when it didn't, it was silent, and it was silent in this case.
Well, Your Honor, I would say that it's, I would say a couple of things, Your Honor. First of all, Chapter 281 is not silent about the application of Chapter 91.
Right, it's very specific, but not on the issue that we're here about today. That's her point.
Well, Your Honor, as the Supreme Court cited to Chapter 281.17, subsection B, all of it, there's a catch-all provision within that the legislature put in and said that the decisions that are being made by the Liquor Commission are reviewable pursuant to Chapter 91. And that's what the Supreme Court cited. And so it's not silent, Your Honor. It might not be as specific as Ms. Thomas has, you know. It's not specifically there. But, Your Honor, it is mentioned in the chapter. I do not think the legislature left it silent. The legislature and the Supreme, as the Supreme Court cited, under 281.17b, there is a provision for review of the decisions of the Liquor Commission pursuant to Chapter 91.
So then all the references to Chapter 91 that are in Section 281, they're just extraneous. When the legislature said revocation of a license is subject to review by chapter under Chapter 91, it was just extraneous. Didn't have to say that. It was just wasting its time.
No, Your Honor, I don't think that it was a waste of time, Your Honor. The way I view it is that sometimes the legislature is more specific than other times. Sometimes the legislature wants to be very sure that the people reviewing the laws know exactly what the legislature has in mind. Other times the legislature might have something specific in mind, but might not say it. And thus the function of the courts in interpreting the laws and interpreting the rules to make sure that everybody understands what the legislature actually meant.
If we applied the contested case procedures to the application, who would be the parties?
Parties are defined under Chapter 91, under 91-91-1, if I may. And under 91-1, subsection 3, a party means each person or agency named or admitted as a party or properly seeking and entitled as of right to be admitted as a party in any court or agency proceeding. I think part of the problem, Your Honor, is that the...
It's up to the commission.
Well, the commission hasn't set up rules and procedures to treat the application process as a contested case hearing, because I don't think that they've ever viewed it as a contested case hearing. And so,
give some deference to the agency's interpretation of its own rules and statute, governing statute.
Well, I have to go back to the Singleton case, Your Honor. In the Singleton case, the Supreme Court has already determined that this has determined by implication that this is in fact a contested case procedure.
And no one challenged that issue in that case, right? It was not one of the issues raised on appeal in that case.
It does not appear to have been a contested issue on the appeal. However, the Supreme Court did make some specific findings about jurisdiction. It didn't ignore jurisdiction and just move forward. It made specific findings as to how it had jurisdiction to review this particular procedure as a contested case.
Isn't it possible it could have jurisdiction, but other parts of Chapter 91 the legislature could have intended and in fact made not applicable in this context? So the fact that it had jurisdiction, the court says it has jurisdiction, you say that means all of Chapter 91 applies, right? To cross-examine, requirements of notice, everything applies. Is that the way you read Singleton?
The way I read Singleton, Your Honor, is that the Supreme Court determined that the procedure as described by 281.59 was a contested case procedure, and as a result of that, the circuit court and the Supreme Court had jurisdiction to review. That's how I review it.
And is it your view that it follows from the fact that the court determined it had jurisdiction that implicitly it determined that all of Chapter 91 applied to these proceedings? Didn't say that, did it?
It doesn't say that, Your Honor.
And in fact, when you look at the opinion, although the opinion, it's kind of hard to tell exactly what the process was, but it sure sounds like a process that was a lot like what was happening here. The description is citizens coming in, giving statements, doesn't sound like a contested case hearing. So the Supreme Court, although it found it had jurisdiction, appears to have looked at a procedure not unlike the one here and didn't note that there was a problem with that.
Your Honor, I don't believe that the procedural aspects of the decision were at issue in the Singleton case. I don't think that the appeal was based on the fact that certain portions of Chapter 91 were not followed. The appeal in Singleton was as to certain determinations of fact that the Liquor Commission made. And so, Your Honor, I don't know that that was ever really addressed by the court because I don't think that was ever raised on the appeal.
So that's an open issue for us then. I mean, the fact that there's a right to appeal perhaps is foreclosed by Singleton, but the possibility that you could have a right to appeal, but the process or the procedures might be some kind of hybrid of 91. Parts of 91 are applicable, other parts aren't. That's a possibility, or you think that's foreclosed?
Your Honor, I do think that that's foreclosed. I'll explain why. I believe that as you look at the case law regarding Chapter 91, we either have a contested case procedure or we don't. If we don't have a contested case procedure, there's no appeals, there's nothing further that happens. If you do have a contested case procedure, well, then all of Chapter 91 applies. Now, it doesn't mean that the legislature cannot add on to procedures with respect to the liquor licensing. There are all sorts of other procedures that the legislature has added. For example, the having 50% of the public opposing it, you know, would automatically kill it. Well, there's nothing that says that you can't have that. And I don't see anything wrong with the legislature adding additional procedures. But I don't see anything in there's nothing here that says that chapter 281, 59, the procedure that is outlined there, that it's not a contested case. It is a contested case, but there are additional procedures that need to be followed.
Most of the contested case procedures, well, where boards are involved in government, usually there's an agency that makes the initial determination to recommend or deny, and it's going on appeal to that adjudicatory body. But in the Liquor Commission case, it seems like the commission itself is making the decision. It's not the staff.
That's correct.
So who would be the party? Who's going to be presenting the case before the Liquor Commission if the treating is a contested case proceeding?
You know, I think that the real problem here is that the Liquor Commission hasn't set up rules and procedures to establish who can become a party and who cannot become a party. And because that hasn't been established by the Liquor Commission, it's to answer that question in a vacuum without those rules and procedures is difficult. And the reason that they haven't treated, as far as I understand, the reason that they haven't treated this as a contested case and haven't created rules and procedures to treat it as a contested case is because their viewpoint up until Singleton has been that it wasn't a contested case. So as to who's going to be a party...
You're talking about having a volunteer board decide and follow the contested case procedures, then basically you're looking at the commission having to hire hearing officers, right, to take the evidence and then do the proposed decision and exceptions, because there's no way that a volunteer board is going to be able to do the subpoenaing and be present at every single contested case proceeding. I mean, that's your problem on appeal, right? That one of the commissioners was not present, and under contested case procedures, that's not allowed. They have
to
be there for the entire proceeding.
That's correct. And, Your Honor, I think that actually, I don't even know if that consistent with the law, the Liquor Commission could do with what Your Honor suggested, because as I understand it, under 281.59, the Liquor Commission needs to hear and have the hearing. I don't think the hearings officer has the hearing and makes recommendations. I think the Liquor Commission has to have the hearing and take the evidence from the public as well as from the applicant.
Well, but you're incorporating Chapter 91 under your, I mean, that's what you're asking us to do, and Chapter 91 allows for appointment of hearing officers, so you can't, I don't think you can just take parts of it and not the other parts.
Well, with respect, quite honestly, I haven't thought through exactly how the Liquor Commission is going to implement every aspect of Chapter 91. And I believe that's what Mr. Pang is mainly concerned about, is understanding, well, if this is going to be the law, how do we do it? And I'm afraid that I'm not a procedural expert or in terms of how the city and county can go about making sure that their procedures match with all the laws. What I'm looking at, though, Your Honor, is that it seems very clear from Singleton, from the statutory definitions, that what the procedure that they've set up, that the legislature has set forth, is something that is defined as a contested case under Chapter 91.
Okay. And I still go back to what is the requirement, legal requirement, to have a contested case here.
Sure. Let me answer that. Under 281.59, Your Honor, and under 281.52, I believe, both of those require that a hearing be held before a license is issued.
Yeah, except the hearing is very specific. It's more of a public hearing. It's not a contested case hearing. It doesn't mention Chapter 91.
And I agree with you, Your Honor. It does not mention Chapter 91. However, Your Honor, Chapter 90, the procedure that is described in 281.59 meets the criteria of Chapter 91. And because it meets the criteria of Chapter 91, it fits the definition of a contested case hearing within Chapter 91. And so because of that, Your Honor, it's a contested case hearing. A hearing does not need to call itself a contested case hearing before it becomes one. It merely needs to meet the definition of what a contested case hearing is. So if, for example, a statute called for a hearing in order to determine the rights of someone to have a driver's license, and it required a full board review to determine whether or not somebody would get their particular license, and if that's the procedure that needs to be followed in order for somebody to have a license, then that would be a contested case hearing, regardless of whether or not the legislature defined the type of hearing as a contested case or not, because Chapter 91 makes it a contested case hearing.
But it seems to me that under Supreme Court case law, you either have to find a particular statute that says it's a contested case, or you have to show that constitutionally there's either a due process right or some other kind of right to have a hearing. I think that's Aguilar. And as the interveners say, there are very specific parts of Chapter 281 that call for a contested case hearing under Chapter 91, but initial grant or denial of a license is not one of them.
And there's no debating. I'm not going to argue that the statute says something differently than that, because I believe that Your Honor has accurately stated what the statute says. But Your Honor, I would point that I would point to other parts of Chapter 281, specifically 281.17b, which the Supreme Court cited, which specifically says that the decisions of the Liquor Commission are reviewable pursuant to Chapter 91. And so, even though there isn't a specific statement in 281.59, there is a specific statement elsewhere in the chapter. And even though I hope that I've answered that one.
It actually says except as otherwise provided in this chapter or Chapter 91. So it's a little bit circular in some ways. But
this is obviously not the clearest and cleanest statute out there. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here probably. But it seems that the intent of the legislature was to have judicial review of these matters.
And just why the language that the decisions are unreviewable? Basically, you're saying any decision is going to be picked up under Chapter 91. So the language about the exercise by the commission of its authority shall not be reviewable or appealable to any court or tribunal is rendered meaningless under your interpretation.
No, Your Honor. There are other decisions that the Liquor Commission makes that are not necessarily determining the rights and privileges of parties. Mm-hmm. So if the Liquor Commission makes, for example, rules regarding times that certain things can happen and that sort of thing, or changes its procedures, then that I don't think that there would be review under those circumstances. But looking at this particular process that the Liquor Commission goes through and what the subject matter is, we're talking about issuing liquor licenses and without any review. If we adopt the Liquor Commission position or the intervener's position, there's no review. And that's really troubling. I live in a neighborhood where there's a bar within 500 feet of my residence. and as somebody who, you know, I would want the, if the bar, if they put in a strip club or something like that in my neighborhood, and I disagreed with that, I would want to be able to bring that to the courts.
Isn't there another view? Isn't there a view that the statute requires a contested case proceeding if the application is going to be granted, which then would lend to judicial review, but not if it's going to be denied?
Well,
that would solve your problem. In other words, the only person who would be aggrieved by the lack of judicial review would be the applicant himself, and the applicant could alter the application to then reapply and seek to remedy the identified deficiencies in the prior application.
But really, if we're going to be consistent as a matter of law, the question comes down to this. Is the procedure that is being appealed from a contested case or not? Because should a procedure only be appealable by people, by...
Could the legislature in its wisdom have decided, okay, because the community is going to be affected if the license is granted, we're going to say that a contested case proceeding is required prior to the grant of a license, and therefore judicial review is permissible. But if what we're doing is only denying the license, then not a contested case proceeding, no judicial review.
I'm having a hard time imagining how that could be stated in a way that's fair and meets all of the constitutional requirements.
It just hits me that the way the statute's written is 281.52, no license shall be granted except after public hearing. And then it talks about how the license may be denied after preliminary hearing. So it seems to me that there is some distinction between granting and denying in terms of the procedures that are required by the statute itself.
But with respect to the denial of where we are right now with this particular case is that the denial occurred at the public hearing. And so the real question that I think that arises is the public hearing a contested case or not? Because I don't think that you can say, well, only certain people can appeal this decision. I think that if you're going to have a contested case, then everybody's got to have the right to appeal.
Regardless of my spin on it, or the way I've described it, in this case, what was done, it was denied at the public hearing, which is a contested case hearing. So therefore, the contested case procedures and the judicial review applies.
Yes. Yes. I believe my time is up.
Okay. Do you want to change your time? You want to just wrap up in a minute or two, or if you pretty much covered everything?
If I may just briefly review, I did want to address one aspect about cross-examination.
Okay, that was very quickly, please.
Very quickly. Cross-examination has a lot of benefits. If somebody comes up and testifies before our hearings that a liquor license applicant serves liquor to minors, it would be very useful to allow some cross-examination to determine, well, where did this happen, when did this happen, and that way that the applicant can have an opportunity to respond in an intelligent way, rather than just saying, gee, I have no idea what they're talking about. The applicant can say, oh, in that particular instance, I'm aware of what they're talking about. The minor, you know, looked old, flashed an ID that looked like a legitimate ID, and that's what happened, you know, so that information can be given to the Liquor Commission. The whole purpose of cross-examination under Chapter 91 is just to allow the body to have an opportunity to have the full facts before it.
So with respect to the issue of parties, actually, as I indicated before, there'll probably just be one party, which is the applicant. And under the intent of the statute, every person who lives within 500 feet arguably could be a party. So what does the commission do? Do they elect 200 people to become party? And if that person, if one person who lives within the 500 feet doesn't want to be a party, are they then precluded from testifying? That's
some of the other agencies, Hawaiian Homes, Land Use Commission, they've actually adopted rules to specify how you become a party. You got to pay a filing fee, and unless you actually
become
a party, you can't get judicial review.
Yeah, I think that's
justify, but you can't.
I think that's a problem we come with, because Singleton clearly says that the intent of the legislature is to actively involve the affected community, those who live and work within the radius. One person may want to testify but doesn't want to become a party. I think a party becoming a party puts some pressure on some people, and they just want to come up and testify, and they don't want to be cross-examined. And the legislature allows people to say, I want to object to this license premise in this, in my neighborhood. I don't want to state a reason, I just don't want it here. And if you cross-examine, then you put, if you're allowed to cross-examine that person, then either that person may not want to say anything, or that person may, you know, may state a reason that the applicant objects to. And in addition, the person doesn't even need to appear. They can sign a letter and submit it to the Liquor Commission. And if we are required to cross-examine, then are we required then to subpoena that person, or are we required to exclude that exhibit because that the light that the applicant is not permitted to cross-examine? I think that was shown in the town case, like I indicated that example. With respect to the criteria for approving a liquor license, it is within the liquor license commission's discretion, and they have wide discretion. I think the statute pretty clear. It says it's, they have wide discretion. 281.56 indicates what has to be in a report, what things has to be presented to the commission by their investigators and the applicant. But it also says,
what you're suggesting then is the Liquor Commission should have unfettered discretion, and the applicant, if they're denied an application, doesn't have any remedy, and they can't find out why they were denied a license, they don't have any avenue for appeal. That's troublesome from a public policy standpoint.
I understand that. I think it's troublesome for the commission too, but the thing is, if the only way you can get to an appeal is to make sure everything is a contested case, then we believe it violates the liquor laws. I mean, it just puts the liquor commissions, all the liquor commissions, in a difficult position, and it puts the neighborhoods in a difficult position because, like I indicated, many people don't want to participate in a contested case hearing. They don't want to be cross-examined. And who's going to cross-examine the applicant to determine whether they're telling the truth on the applicant? Liquor Commission's attorney would not be stepping in. I think they would have to be neutral. Would the applicants, would the neighbors have to hire an attorney? That puts it at another level. I think holding a public hearing just allows everybody to come and to say something. And it may be false, and it may be totally off base. But that's what the intent of the public hearing is for.
But you're saying, since there's no specified criteria, assuming an applicant fulfills all the requirements to apply for the license, the commission could, without any reason, just say no.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that
they. Why couldn't they though? Why couldn't they?
Because I think because they have to be reasonable. I think the language of 281.56 says other matters that the Liquor Commission deems reasonable. And so I think we have that reasonable standard.
I notice in the findings they just say it's not in the public interest. That was the explanation given for the denial. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that the standard?
It is the standard language, but it's based on the testimony that comes. And there are many, I think, maybe 95% of the liquor applications, no one comes to protest.
Are there any guidelines? I mean, do they have so many quota of so many liquor licenses in a particular area, or do they have any kind of?
They are allowed to adopt quotas or things, but under I think the statute, they have to define the area. And they have to state reason. So it would be similar to adopting a rule, public hearing, public notice, and they would have to adopt it that way. So they can't just say, oh, we've had enough in this area. They would have to do that first, and then when the application comes in, they would say, no, you fall under the limit. We can't have you do that anymore. So they, but they have the power to do that. It's just that they have to have a procedure to do that.
Hang, is it your understanding if we affirm, and I know there's an issue about going back and looking at the circuit court directed that the issue of notice be reexamined, yes, whether notice was proper or not. Assuming the Liquor Commission concludes that that wasn't a problem, that notice was okay, mm-hmm, what happens? At that point, is the license granted or will there be a contested case hearing held? Under your interpretation of the circuit court's judgment?
Well, the circuit court's decision says that we determine whether notice was proper, and then the commission may grant or deny the license. Under the, if you read the circuit court's decision, I guess maybe we have to hold a contested case hearing. And
even though the rules don't exist to do that at this,
yes,
time?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Pang. Ms. Thomas, you have the last word today.
Okay, I want to first specifically, you did a little bit of this, of specifically reading 17B, 281-17B. It says, subject only to this chapter, the commission or board and each member thereof shall have the same powers respecting the administering of oaths, compelling the attendance of witnesses, and the production of documentary evidence, and examining the witnesses as are possessed by a circuit court, except that the commission or board and each member thereof shall not be bound by the strict legal rules of evidence. The exercise by the commission or board of the power, authority, and discretion vested in it pursuant to this chapter shall be final and shall not be reviewable by or appealable to any court or tribunal except as otherwise provided in this chapter or chapter 91. Clearly, they've got a lot of latitude. They're not under the strict rules of evidence. They're not bound by that. But the key word here is the or. It doesn't mean and. It means or, and that means one or the other. So I believe that Mr. Chi is mistaken when he says that using that language then makes Chapter 91 apply to everything in 281. It's an or. So it says we have to apply it here, 281, or in those cases where Chapter 91 is mentioned, we apply Chapter 91, just in those cases. So I think that this indicates that applying Chapter 91 is an exception, not the norm.
In that reading, you really don't need the language or Chapter 91, right? Because it could say the specific references to Chapter 91 that are scattered throughout the chapter would,
right,
presumably invoke. So
correct.
The only problem with your reading is it kind of renders the or Chapter 91 superfluous too.
Yes. I mean, it is superfluous, but I can understand how that they would think that they had to put it in because it was referenced in 281, and they can't just say provided, well, I guess they could just say provided in this chapter, but the fact that they included it is superfluous. So the other thing that really concerns me is what's the point of saying that it's not reviewable or appealable if everything is reviewable and appealable? What, are they just sticking words in there and they're totally superfluous? Where is it not appealable? Where is it not reviewable? And I think the where answer to that is in 281, 52, 57, and 59. Those hearings are not reviewable. They're not appealable because they're applying for the application. Now, also, in my brief, I cited two cases where it says that the Kasim Peng versus ILWU, it says, our foremost obligation is to ascertain and give effect to the intention of the legislature, which is to be obtained primarily from the language obtained in the statute itself. And we must read statutory language in the context of the entire statute and construe it in a manner consistent with its purpose. And then the other one is the Schlefke versus Reliable Collection Agency. Where the statutory language is plain and ambiguous, our sole duty is to give effect to its plain and obvious meaning. So plainly, they didn't say that it had to, that 59 had to comply with Chapter 91. That's very plain. So I think we have to respect that. And in terms of the, there's an if you don't respect that, again, I bring up the inconsistencies that it provides, as we've been all talking about, and specifically that the due process would be denied the applicant if the community gets that 50% plus one. They just are denied it. The in terms of the cross-examination, the applicant can be cross-examined by the Liquor Commission, and that's the process that happens. When the community person brings up something that is questionable or raises eyebrows of the Liquor Commission, what's the Liquor Commission do? They immediately ask the applicant to have an explanation for this. So within the form of the public hearing, all is brought forward. The liquor commissioners don't just sit there and accept lies from the community and don't question the applicant. Not only that, the applicant gets the last word. So all the community members can go up there and they can say their opinion and say everything, and then the applicant gets up there. Whatever the applicant wants to say, he gets to say, and the community can't rebut it, which in fact was one of my problems, because he would say things that I could rebut, but once I had gotten up there one time and had my 2 minutes, I couldn't say any more. So I couldn't even rebut it. But so the favor is given to the applicant and not to the community already. Okay, so
I want to just wrap up. I think your time expired. If you want to just take 1 minute to sort of get us right to the heart of it.
Okay. Well, basically, I also wanted to say about the preliminary hearing. That provides an inconsistency as well, because they can do the investigation on paper. They can decide that this license isn't appropriate, and they can immediately deny it without the hearing. In the preliminary hearing, they can look at the investigative report and say, we deny. Okay. So I just want to say that the ruling here is going to affect all the communities in the state of Hawaii. That it's not just our little community. And that's why we've hung in here. This has been kind of hard for us, but we're doing it sort of as a community service. It's really important to get it right, to give the community what the legislatures wanted to give us, which was the right to not have people just willy-nilly get liquor licenses when it affected the community. And if you make these cases, the application hearings, contested cases, that is not going to happen.
Thank you very much, Ms. Thomas. I appreciate your efforts today, Ms. Thomas, as well as the arguments of counsel. And the court will take this matter under submission. Thank you very much.
All right.